I just want to start out this morning. This is one of the most powerful prophetic words, and it blows my mind how God gave me this word, 2014, women impacting the decade. Women impacting the decade. And it's such a confirmation. I'm going to do my best to be there in Conroe, because it's an advance. Amen. And so that, it goes right along with some of the words that I'm going to speak. But when God gave me this word, I knew that it was something that, and he confirmed it over and over. There's three things a prophetic word will do. It will cause you to want to worship God with every fiber of your being. It will always point you to the Word of God, and it will awaken your destiny. So I don't care where you are, where you've been, or even where you're going. You are here today, and there are so many signs that God confirmed even this particular day. It's going to blow your mind. And, I mean, it's blown my mind, and I'm the speaker, amen? And so, but before we do, I just want to honor just a few people and just bless a few people. The first person, of course, I want to honor Pastor Anna. I say Anna because I'm from Alabama, but it's Anna. Come on down here. Now, I am a very visual person. That's part of the gift. I can see a color of jewelry on somebody, and God will release to me a prophetic word. So, Sharon, I want you to come and help me, and because I'm just going to have her to do these gifts real quick so I can explain to her, and then I'm going to give y'all some gifts, and I don't know who they're going to go to. But when you open these packages, you're going to see a confirmation of an expression. I did not haphazardly pick up things. They all had a meaning, okay? And the warfare to be here has been unbelievable. Even to be able to get her hot pink boxing gloves. I had people say, you don't need to go there. You can find it. You can find it. The GPS screen gets black. And so the first thing I want to present to her is these hot pink boxing gloves. And, you know, pink is very significant. Any prophets in the house? Anybody study color?
And I love pink.
Okay.
And
well, yeah.
Pink and black are our love colors.
Now, normally I have create a boxing ring in here, and every woman goes through the boxing ring. But you can just have a visual, because I was so determined. That's why I was late this morning. I was going to find Academy. Thank God Sandy helped me find it. I am directionally challenged when it comes to, you know, reading the map and everything. What did we do before our GPS? And I made, you know, I could have said, well, look, I've got some other ones. And no, I was not. So she is going to knock the socks off the devil this decade. And so she doesn't lose her balance, because he's a light and a lamp to our path and our steps. You know, there's a certain path. You know, people try to get you off the path, but she ain't getting off the path. And yesterday when I bought these roses, I told the girl, I said, now look, you're sure these are not gonna, she said, no ma'am, they'll be fine, just put them in water. Okay. And so I started to throw them away because they're a little, you know, but I said, no, the significance is it's the rose of Sharon. She is going to release a new fragrance of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. I believe it's called BALM. She's going to be the bomb. Come on, somebody. Releasing the power. We said something about the fire. So here are your roses. And then every girl needs a little bling. Now, let me tell you about bling. The reason, now think about it. In history, when have women ever been so blingy?
Today.
You know why? Because we're discovering the Word of God says that we shine like stars. And so every time you see bling on somebody, it's because We have a laser beam on the inside of us because we are the light of the world. And who minds going any place that's dark when you can walk in and the laser on the inside of you, light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. Can you imagine when a woman finds out that she is bling bling and shines like the stars and that that laser is going to disperse every demon that's tried to take her out, her family out, her ministry out, her church out, her city out, her region out. I'm talking about her nation out. I'm talking about the continent. Come on. The nations of the world. Bling bling. Give your sister a high five and say, I'm blinging today. So in any of these gift bags, if you happen to just happen to get a little bling bling bracelet, put it on. Don't be conservative around Judy Laird or Anna Atkinson. Just come on out of the box. Amen. And so one of the words, and you'll understand it, that I'm speaking is called quantum appointment. Cause some of y'all are getting ready to take a leap. Quantum, that's for the message, but there's you and timing. Okay. And let's see. Now I said the thing about the Rose of Sharon. Some of you are going to have some rose petals in these bags. And when I go to South Africa, they spoil me. The first time I ever came in from preaching and they had a bathtub with fresh rose petals, I said, oh wow, I like this. This is good. The next day I was in a squatter camp. You got to be flexible. But I want, if you receive any of these rose petals today, and she may want to use her fresh rose petals, go soak in the presence of God. Go soak in the presence of God. Because let me tell you something, your most valuable possession right now, it's not your $1 million in the bank, it's not your anything but your time with God. And I don't know about you, but I need some time with the Lord. Amen? And then let's see what some of this other stuff is very quickly. I don't know. Oh, this is going to be very, very prophetic. I think this is a bling thing. Victoria, come here. This is why. You know, you never take light. Sometimes God gives me what I need to know on a need to know basis. And I just flew in 3 hours late in the rain. That's why my hair looks like this. This is a season of stripping Judy Laird of all of her pride. I would have never gotten up here with half my makeup this way and, you know, whatever. But while I was in Connecticut, because every event that I'm personally doing, as well as when I'm invited, God gives me things to give. And I love this. Have anybody ever been to Francesca's? Yes. Oh, I love Francesca's. Okay. And so I went in there and I saw this scarf and I thought, I'm in a new season at 63 of Love and Hot Pink, and I'm a redhead. That's crazy. We were never allowed to wear pink, but I know why. Because when I saw Victoria worshiping the Lord today, God told me not only is she a worshiper, in fact, there's a hip-hop artist I want to introduce her to, as well as a prophet that's a worshiper named Janet Cruz, and I believe there's an impartation. But the Lord told me that the mantle that you're going to carry is to multiple generations, but especially to her generation, but it's going to surpass anything her dad or her mom or anybody that she's special. Amen. So now I understand, and it's all about the fire, that last song. I mean, you sing some of those, you know, I love it because we can jerk and do mashed potato and everything because I saw her do it today. So just I prophesy, and I know that her mother and her father and will give her the punch, the anointing, to make an impact everywhere she goes. And I see her, you know, part of the prophetic is the arts. And isn't it amazing, all these movies right now? Go see God Will. God Is Not Dead. It'll blow your mind, as well as Heaven Is For Real. Because this is the generation that God is really pulling with the arts. And it's so prophetic. Yeah. Do you like it? Make sure your mom gives you her bling, too, because you need that. Amen. And I don't know what else is in here. Oh, is there some more? Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, we got you some more. Here, you need some rose petals, too.
Oh.
And I'm just leaving this. Normally, I decorate wherever I go, and it's about the shield. And I want you to remember that because I'm going to give her this particular shield. This is one that we did in Baton Rouge. I had over 200 women show up, and it was amazing about what God did. I had 7 political leaders. Because what I'm finding every place is people are hungry for God, and they want the real deal. The days of the one-man show, it's over. God's raising up a unique. We are going to celebrate, not compete, but we're going to complete one another. I need this powerful woman of God. I need every one of you. And you know what? You need me. And we have to get to the place that we come together, because the success of the revival that is awakening in this nation is for the church to come together as never before. At the event that I had over 200 people in, like I said, in the Baton Rouge, and I had pastors' wives that had not spoken in years. Nobody knew, and I sent out this form, and everybody was to send who they wanted to honor. And so I'm kind of multi-ethnic. I go everywhere and even across denominational lines. And so it was amazing, and the presence of God was so strong, it rocked my world. It blew my mind, because I'm going to every capital. So this is, who knows, I think we need to bring them to Baton Rouge. Fire. Say fire.
Fire.
Being released everywhere. And so, the word, stretch your hands this way. Father God, I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for women that are honorable. I thank you, God, this is a dawning of a brand new day, and it's a season of quantum appointments. I thank you, Father, that Judy Laird decreases, but Holy Spirit, increase in me. I thank you that today, every woman under the sound of my voice, that destiny will awaken, and that not only the message of the word will confirm where they are, but it will cause them to propel to a place they've never known before, because they're going to do something different that they've never done before in their own lives. Lord, even in worship today, God, I just sense you just dealing with the heart. And I just say you have the heart of every woman in this building. Hold, your hand is holding onto their hearts. And we're like the word that came forth to the broken vessel that went back to the potter's house, because you're reshaping us into where we can be fit for the master's use. Lord, you're not using half-filled vessels anymore. You're not using broken vessels. We are dealing with our issues, every one of us, and all we want is Jesus and to be more like him. So today, Lord, as this word is released, I say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you, and that this word will not return void. But even from this location, it will go forth throughout the Houston area, throughout this state, Lord. You told me it would go to multiple states, and that I was to go to every capital. And God, we're going to see the hand of the Lord move with a word to release the women of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Very quickly, turn with me, if you will, into the book of Chronicles. The 12th chapter, if you start reading in the beginning of Chronicles, you'll find out at the first of that, it talks about David's men of valor, men that are so ready. And of course, we know gender has nothing to do with the anointing. And what I discovered throughout that word was this, that these guys were so powerful that they could fight with both of their arms. Can you imagine that? Giving the devil a knockout blow, going into war, and you were so equipped and so ready that you said, I'm going to read it real quickly. 1 Chronicles, the 12th, it said, these were the men, first verse, these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was banished from the presence of Saul. And these were the warriors who helped him in battle. They were armed with bows, we've got boxing gloves, and were able to shoot arrows or to sling stones right-handed or left-handed. They were the kinsmen of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. But you go on down, and it's interesting to study all of these tribes. If you go to the 23rd verse, and I'm reading from the NIV, these were the tribes that joined David at Hebron. Hebron was where David was crowned king. And they were all brave, and they were just, they were, you know, they picked up their weapons, and they went with it. But verse 32 says, and this is key, men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Very quickly turn to Exodus, the first chapter. Excuse me, second chapter. And this is about the birth of Moses. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. Do you know what the Levite tribe was known for? All right. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got the papyrus basket, which if you understood these vines, they had stickers on them, kind of like these roses. And the way that this basket, according to history, was built, the stickers came out. And then she put the tar in and put the baby in. Then she placed a child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. The Nile was a river that was known for crocodiles. His sister stood at the distance to see what would happen to him. Very quickly, turn to Exodus, the sixth chapter, so you will know exactly where I get this. And if you look down at the, this is all about the family record of Moses. If you look down to the 18th verse, the sons of Kabal were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, Uzziel, Koba, and they lived 133 years. The sons of Moriah were Mahli and Mushi, and these were the clans of the Levi according to their records. And Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. And of course, you know, he had a sister named Miriam. And so I want to bring to your attention very quickly a story or an event that took place and how God birthed this in me. In the end of November, I think I might have come here before I went to South Africa. God, in the last, ever since 2011, God keeps giving me these messages, and here again, not even really being aware of it, pertaining to the signs, to timing. Everything's timing. And the timing, dawning of a new day, momentum, defining moment. The Lord gave me 3 years ago a message for the Full Gospel Businessmen about momentum, and I'm speaking again at their world conference in July right here in the Woodlands, and it's because of the manifestation of that prophecy. Do not have a general American mindset that when you receive a prophecy, it's like putting an egg in the microwave. That's not, sometimes God stops time. Sometimes God accelerates time. He is time, Alpha and Omega. And so I spoke to you about the Issachar tribe. In this room today, you think you just showed up. You did not. It's for the Holy Spirit to release to you the timing of God. That's why I loved it when Pastor Anna said that about Revelations. It says, he that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. You see, right now we're so caught up in everyday life, we're not taking that most valuable possession that we have, is time with God. So God can speak to us. And so you've got to realize that your time with God, God's speaking. Yes, he will speak from prophets and apostles and the fivefold. He'll speak through friends. But God is so personal. If I had not taken the time to seek God about this message, to have a message to impact the decade, I wouldn't be here today. And you'll understand as I tell the story. So as I reflected back on this word that God gave me about quantum appointments, I begin to reflect back all the way back to 2011 and the different, just out of nowhere, it was like, oh my God, that has to do with the timing of God. a defining moment is I was speaking at the Triumph Churches for 6 weeks, and God began to move one night, and I looked down, and Pastor Renee Clark was on her knees, and they were getting ready to turn it to me, and people were coming to the altar. Can I give you another word? The presence of God, this is why the devil fights this church. So the presence of God, the respect for the anointing of God, the word of God, the man and woman of God is returning to the church throughout the world. Come on, somebody. You want to come in and worship, not just any kind of way. We can't be up when God's moving. We've got to, sometimes it's right. The Lord was speaking to me personally so profoundly today in the worship, and I just kind of got still for a moment. Be still and know. Come on. And so this is what's happening right now. I have been on the road since March the 11th. I don't even know how many times I've ministered. And some of the things that's happened has been so crazy. But I know that God is saying, okay, Judy, you need some time alone with me. Amen. Because for me to take this to another level. And so timing is very critical. Study the Issachar tribe. Study time. Study the time Alpha and Omega. Study when prophecies were given in the word of God. And when David was anointed, Samuel went and prophesied that he was king, but it didn't happen overnight. See, some of us would be saying, man, Samuel missed it. That wasn't from God. Wrong again. So we have to become very aware. If you've ever criticized someone for a prophecy not happening when you thought it should, you need to re-examine that thing. Because you may be the very hindrance of that. Come on, somebody. I'm being real. You know how some people say, well, I put it on the shelf. I have not got a prophecy I'm putting on no shelf. I received a powerful word from Bishop Joseph Garlington via Facebook personal yesterday. And I said, come on now. I'm ready. Amen. And so you've got to watch what you say because you can be your worst enemy. Somebody needed to hear that. Amen. Do not put it on the shelf, but say, Lord, I anticipate and I wait because it will come to pass. And so I began to reflect all these things. And on November the 6th, I was had been in South Africa for 3 weeks. I was with Bishop Tudor Bismarck's younger brother, Mark. We had been in a squatter camp all day long. This particular trip was so different because the message was mainly to the leaders, not just the people. Even though I had a great team, they prayed with everybody, and the message was, here again, timing, dawning of a new day, legacy. And so this was the last day. We started out in a palace, and I was honored to be able to take a team to go. I started out in the squatter camp 12 years ago. But I was able to take these people places that they would, favor is not just for yourself. You release the favor. I know one day in God's timing that Apostle LaRue and that Anna will go and I will take them. I believe that there is a tribal king that has the world's second largest platinum mines, and I believe Apostle is the one that's going to release him and get him saved. Come on, somebody. When is it going to happen? I don't know. Apostle and I've talked about it. In the timing of God. You see, if you get ahead of God and you try to birth something, you can really mess it up. And then you want to blame the devil on everything. So here I am coming out of this squatter camp, been in South Africa 3 weeks, and the phone rings, and it's a young woman, Princess Torella Metalagi. And she said, she's speaking to Mark Bismarck, and she said, tell Dr. Judy, there's just a few ladies that want to see her before she leaves. And I'm exhausted and hot and sweaty and probably didn't have on my Dove deodorant and you name it. And Mark's looking at me and he's saying, Mama Red. See, sometimes our children and our spiritual children can speak to us. And I was going, He said, I really think you're supposed to go. Not having any idea. See, you don't know the divine assignments and the quantum appointments that's going to take you to another level. But thus saith the Lord, you are here today to hear the word and to watch it come to pass. Are you ready for this? And so all of a sudden we go back to the hotel, and in my mindset, because I'm a team player, I'm thinking I'll take the group with me. I will exhort just a little bit and let them pray and prophesy over these few ladies, which probably I was estimating about eight maybe at the most. And Princess Torella gets there and she said, no, Mama, you don't understand. It can only be you. But it still didn't register. And so sometimes it's good things don't register, because I'd have probably gotten all worked up. Amen. See, sometimes you don't need to get worked up. Sometimes it's for you not to know, so you will not get the flesh or a soulish. Ever received a soulish? I don't believe in soulish words from the Lord. And so we get in the car, and all of a sudden we drive and we pull up to a 25,000 square foot home. Cars, Bentleys, Rolls, you name it, everywhere. And Princess T looks at me and said, Auntie Judy, are you okay with this? And I said, because she knew I was extremely, you know, tired. And I said, sure, it'll be fine. We walk in, and the room that these ladies were in, there was about 43 ladies in this room. And it was a baby grand piano was sitting in the middle, and women had their hands raised up worshiping the Lord. And she said, this is a Bible study. Sometimes I come to the host of this home. But she didn't tell me who this woman was. And so I'm telling you, stir the gifts that are in you. Fan the flame. You cannot be a victim, have a victim mentality any longer. Deal with your issues so God can use you. You're God's choice. But if you don't know you're God's choice, and you're always going around the same mountain, you will never go into what God wants you to do and to be. You're going to have to do something you've never done before. And you are going to do it. I believe it. I see chains. I can I go ahead and just share? We were in the back praying, and Pastor Anna had no idea, and Sharon was there, and we were just praying. And I said, I saw the strangest thing. I said, you know, usually we have a prayer wall, but that's not what I saw. I said, I saw you standing before a wall, and every word that does not line up with your life or this ministry or this family or whatever. Every critical remark, every witchcraft, white curl. Come on, somebody. I said, she was standing there like this, and she was looking, and she had this passion, but an angel was behind her, and that angel's hand came out and began to pull those arrows out. Pull those arrows out. You see, the battle's not ours. We just need to keep every word that's been spoken over you. I don't care who you are today. Every word that's been spoken of criticism, of unkind word, accusation, lies, if you will. Come on, somebody. Anything that does not line up with the word of God, it's out, because an angel of the regiment of Michael has pulled it out the wall. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I grabbed that for me too, Lord. And so I'm standing there, and this will be my 12th year, 2014, going into Africa. And so I'm telling about a dawning of a new day and legacy and all this. And these women are just pulling it out. I felt a demand on the gift, pulling, not Judy Laird. I'm nothing. I am nothing. But whatever God has deposited in me, that's why you've got to know the word of God, that word can be just pulled out of you. And that's what was happening. And so I began to prophesy. And when I got to the fourth woman, how old are you? Stand up. So I get to this fourth woman, and I look at her, and she's looking down at the ground, and everybody's, you know, looking around and have no clue. And I said, do you know how God changes people's names in the Bible? I said, I see your name as destiny. I see a crown over your head that says destiny. And, but can I tell you something? I said, I see darkness and I see a delay and I see circumstances that have weighted you down, and the enemy has lied to you and told you you would never fulfill the will of God over your life because of these unusual circumstances that most of the people in this room would not encounter. I did not know I was prophesying to Nelson Mandela's right before he died. I was speaking to his stepdaughter. He was the only father she ever knew. And because of the political climate and the political arena and because of the witchcraft and all these crazy things, this woman's heart was to have to go in with human trafficking in Mozambique. And because of everything that was going around in her family. See, sometimes family circumstances will try to stop and block the will of God, but a true prophet will discern. This is for some of you in here today. And so everybody's, you know, just, and she's just crying and crying. I said, it shall come to pass. When this dark cloud is lifted, you will fulfill the will of God. And what the enemy has stolen out of your life, God's going to restore. She had lost her husband. She had lost her job because of all these different situations. But God was releasing hope, because hope deferred causes the soul to die. She felt like it would never happen. And I don't even call her by her name. I call her Destiny. Yeah. And so I go on, and you can sit down, to this small group of, and all of a sudden I notice people are texting and the crowd's getting a little bit bigger, and I'm just prophesying over everyone in the room. And then I get to the very, the host of the home, and having no clue. And so I said, in 2006, I was in Cape Town, South Africa, and someone had blessed me with a 5-carat diamond bracelet, and I sewed it to the women of Africa. And I said, this is why I'm so excited, because I'm going to have my first international conference at the end of the year. And I said, I believe that you are key. And I said, and can I say something else? Man has told you you could not. But the dream that's on the inside of you, it's real. And I said, you know what? If somebody ever tells you you can't win, now I don't know what I'm saying. If you're obedient, whether you win or you lose, it does not matter. You've won because you've obeyed God. Somebody in here feels like, because something didn't happen the way they thought it was, that you failed. Wrong again. You did what you felt was best in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And so all of a sudden, this woman's hands are up, and I said, and it's going to happen. I said, it's all about the timing of God. Little did I know that this woman owns a major TV network in South Africa, and she in her heart has had a desire to run for the presidency of South Africa. Come on, somebody. And so all of a sudden, I'm telling them about when I sewed this bracelet in the ground that I saw. I went into a vision, and can I tell you something? What I'm having right now. I'm having a vision of the women of America. I saw them running to God. And I've not said this about America in any of these events, but I'm seeing it right now. So I hope somebody's recording this word. I saw women thrust. You know why? You've changed the heart of a woman. Come on, you become honorable with your heart. And guess what happens? It changes your life. You have an impact. You have an impact on your children, on your children's children, on your home, on your husband, on your church. Hallelujah. On your community. Come on, somebody. On your city. On your state, on your nation. It's time to have an impact. And so I leave. And to be quite honest with you, I really don't even understand what's getting ready to happen. I get on a plane, and it was not first class, but I was sitting in a seat, and I was trying to read. I don't know what about it is about me landing, but every time I land, for some kind of way without even planning it, God speaks to me. And so I was reading this book. It's a powerful book. Most of you have probably heard, because I'm going to speak this declaration over you today, and because I want some things to happen for you. And it's by Apostle John Eckhart. Anybody ever heard Apostle John Eckhart? Amazing man of God. And if anybody knows my testimony, I'm all about thou shalt decree a thing and it shall come to pass. And so I was reading this, and we were getting ready to land in Paris. And you'll be able to see, I carry this book everywhere. It was on November the 11th, Johannesburg, Paris, France. And at the end of reading this, this word comes to me. Quantum appointment. Not even realizing I had just had a quantum appointment. Okay? I had no clue. I promise you, no clue. And so we get back home, and I'm home about 72 hours, and a friend of mine calls me, and when they call me, they want me to meet. Some of you have probably heard of this gentleman, Dr. Jack Sheffield, and I really was not going to go. I was tired. Went to get in my car, and the wires in brand new Goodyear tires was completely out. It was the enemy, just like the enemy trying to stop me to give you those gloves. I don't like being late for a meeting, but it was like the Holy Spirit pressed me. Only in eternity will we know the illustration of those gloves. And so I called Susan Harris and I said, hey, look, I'm running late, da 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 da. Ended up over by NASA. Remember the word NASA. End up over by NASA and walk in, and they're in a restaurant waiting for me. We sit down, and Dr. Jack Sheffield and his wife and his board begin to tell me about this ministry of healing and, you know, what they're doing. And they have 34 healing rooms and da 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 da. And finally, I looked at him and I said, can I just say something? I'm a high energy person. Can you tell? And I said, in all due respect, I don't understand it, but I got a word from the Lord. And I'm thinking God's given me this quantum appointment for this ministry. And I said, I want to give you a word from the Lord. And the word from the Lord is just two words. I don't really have a complete understanding, but quantum appointments. He looked at Susan Harris and he said, what did you tell her? I said, that's not Dr. Judy's flow. I have not told her anything. He said, well, woman of God, I'm going to put your word to the test. I said, great. And so he said, in 2 days, I'm going to Chile. He goes to Chile. And remember, quantum appointment and timing. He goes to Chile. When he goes to Chile, it's at an Episcopal convention national deal for all these Episcopal priests. Hello, Holy Spirit. He goes, and when they turn the service to him, he has an anointing for healing, and he's laying hands on people. And I don't even know how many Episcopal priests. The charismatic, spirit-filled church better get ready to go behind the traditional doors. Because you are going to hear me tell you today, I'm seeing a hunger in places that I didn't even know they knew what the Holy Spirit was. And they don't. They just want it. Come on, somebody. And I don't know how many people, thousands and thousands of people, and they're following them through the streets of the capital of Chile. And within 24 hours, he gets a phone call from the president of Chile's presidential office inviting him to come. He goes, I have a governmental anointing. And when I release a word, some of you are going to be connected to two places. You're going to be connected to the political arena. You're going to be connected to the economy because the marketplace anointing, God's getting ready to turn some things around. If you believe. And so all of a sudden, he finds himself with the president of a nation, and he's thinking about this quantum appointment. And this president said, Dr. Sheffield, I give you carte blanche to the nation of Chile. We need what you have. Whatever you want to do in this nation, come on, somebody. Is that not favor? Key thing, 2 days later, he gets a phone call, and there is a woman. And I'm telling you about all of this with the women, because you're here. There's a woman that was getting ready to run for the presidency of Chile, and she wanted Dr. Sheffield to come and to pray over her, okay? And so he goes and he listens, kind of like the thing that I'm in the room with a woman, a president's daughter, stepdaughter, and then I'm with a room where a woman's wanting to run for president. How many have seen Hillary Clinton getting ready to try to run for president? I'm telling you, women, come on and wake up. What we fight for today with those boxing gloves in the spirit is going to be our freedom tomorrow. And I'm not afraid to tell you, I do not want Hillary Clinton as president of this nation. Come on, somebody. And so all of a sudden, he comes back and he calls me and he says, Dr. Judy, he said, can we meet? I want to talk with you about something. And I said, okay. And he said, are you busy? I said, yes, I'm reading a book right now about the 2,000 years of charismatic Pentecost, all the moves of God. Because inside of me, there's something awakening for the last 6 months about revival. Wilt thou not revive us once again that we'll rejoice? Something is awakening about miracle signs and wonders. I'm boasting in the Lord. I know I can prophesy. I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to see the sick and the lame and the deaf and the bound. I don't want to go through some type of strategy. I want to say, in the name of Jesus, be thou made whole. John 14 says the works that he did will do even greater. And I'm reading, as God be my witness, I'm reading about a guy by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. And Dr. Jack Sheffield says to me, have you ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? And I'm like, to fell off the bed and the phone. And about that time I said, yeah, I sure have. And I listened to him and he said, well, he said, I have someone that God has told me that I must introduce you to. And her name is Lil DeFinn, and she's Smith Wigglesworth, hallelujah, great grandmother, great granddaughter, and said, I think there's some type of connection. And I'm sitting there, and literally, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is my quantum time. And so he said, when can we meet? He said, we're getting ready to have a move of God. We're getting ready to have a revival in Daytona Beach. And then I go back, and some of you have heard me say this, in 2004, I was in Galveston, and I had a visitation, and the Lord spoke to me that in the day of the one-man show was over, he was going to put together a corporate team, and there would be a move of God from the tip of Florida, Daytona Beach, St. Petersburg, Miami, that would come and go all the way to the tip of Texas, and then it would go from south to north, east to west. And I'm thinking, praise God, there is something. Yeah, I want to meet Smith Wigglesworth, granddaughter. And so I begin to pray and I begin to seek the Lord. And then out of nowhere, thinking about timing, I heard the voice of the Lord say, Judy, everywhere you go, it is time to prophesy to the women, no matter who they are, no matter what age they are. I don't care what their name is. If they're not who's who in the charismatic zoo, no matter what, prophesy to the women of God. That 2014, every choice you make, whether it be spiritually, whether it be physically, whether it be something with the economy and your finance, no matter what it may deal with, your family, it will have an impact on the decade. Yes. If Victoria was in here right now, I'd have her stand up. Because I'm going to challenge her mother and say, what are you going to do? What is your plan to impact your daughter in the next 10 years? Why has God given you this daughter that's anointed, that's called? And so when God began to give me this message, I began to seek the Lord. And I said, I'll study all the women of the Bible. I know everybody's heard Esther, and that was during the time, you know, after the first of the year where you begin to think about the Jews being saved. And, you know, Christmas came, and I thought about Mary. Come on, somebody. And all these different Deborah in the Bible. And I studied, you've heard me say this before, Timothy's mama and grandmama prepared. There's a sound. There's a song. There's a compelling to grandmothers to raise your children, your grandsons, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, because you don't know if they may be chosen to walk with a great apostle named Paul. They're going to surpass anything we've ever done. And I said, Lord, that's not it. Everybody knows those. Give me somebody different. Give me somebody that will provoke a woman into her destiny. And so all of a sudden, God took me to Jochebed, who I read about today. Jochebed was a woman that gave birth to three children that all experience God's glory and presence. And so I begin to study and I begin to think about it. Now, you know, I'm from Baton Rouge and so we have the Mississippi River right there. I cannot tell you today and be totally honest with you that I have the guts and the stamina to take one of my sons or my daughter when they were born and put them in a basket and go and put them in a river that it's known for crocodiles. Come on, somebody. I cannot tell you that if there was a decree out that every male child needed to not live, if I was pregnant, I don't know how I would deal with it, wondering, you know, back then they didn't have the sonograms and they couldn't tell you what gender it was. But can you imagine the anxiety of this woman? She did not live in a home and didn't have a 7-Eleven or McDonald's to go to. She lived in a thin study biblical history, like a village type place, and it was very thin walls, but yet she concealed. Even the midwives knew, I believe, the timing of God, because they wouldn't do what the king told them to do. But can you imagine birthing a child, you know, and tying your own umbilical cord and trying to keep that baby quiet so no one would hear the sound or the smell or anything for 3 months? Come on, somebody. Not being able to go to the doctor and maybe having to just trust God for a complete healing. And then what prompted her at a very precise timing to make this basket? And why papyrus? I studied it. It has sticks that go out that way, stickers. And she was a smart woman. But how did she have the faith to take that baby and give it to her daughter to go and put it in that river? And what type of faith is this? Ended up with Pharaoh's daughter picking up the child and paying her, the mama, to nurse it. Yeah. A son that was a high priest, Aaron. Back in those days, you didn't go in the temple and play with the presence of God. You'd be struck dead. So he knew, who taught him about the presence of God? When you train up a child in the way that they should go when they're old. Some of your kids are coming back. Your labor has not been in vain at all. And so as I begin to study her life, Anna, Google it for yourself if you don't believe me. Thank God for cell phones. When the Holy Spirit will quick to you. And I said, prophetic meaning of Jochebed. You ready for this? Honorable. Honorable and God's glory are glorious. And as soon as I saw that, he said, I'm raising up women. You speak the word and either they will receive it or they'll walk away from it. But those that will receive it will begin to examine their hearts, because only the pure in heart are going to see God. Only the pure in heart are going to carry the glory of God. Only the pure in heart, those that will take the time to seek God's face more than being on Facebook or anything else. The ones that will seek God, that will say, well, I don't know if that can happen. Let me tell you something. God is raising up a new breed, and women are going to be compelled to worship, to live, to give. That's another thing. We are going to give till we can't give anymore. You know why? Because what we have, our possessions, our time, and even our families. Some women are control freaks, and they won't let their sons and their daughters go forth in the things of God. We got to let them go and trust God. There's a new dimension of trust and not fear. There's a new dimension of faith with no doubt going in your mind. There's a new dimension of God's power and His glory. There's a new dimension of being released to divinely connect you with the people that you are supposed to help come to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And there's a new divine connection of people that are going to help you to advance in your own call of what God. Today we need one another. So I started contemplating this word. And then it clicked. I had a divine appointment on November the 6th coming out of a squatter camp. We've got to be ready for dramatic change. We're creatures of habit and we don't know how to embrace the change. You see, I'm tired. Just let the team go. No. I couldn't. I was compelled. Put your hand on your heart and say, allow me to be compelled by the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes at 63, you think you figured it all out. Hit the delete button. Every day is a new day. And yesterday is not like what today is. I can prove it in the word. You want to go from glory to glory and strength to strength? Get ready to accelerate. Get ready to have some quantum. Quantum means advance, jump over, leap over, arise. What do you mean arise? Arise from where you are and go to a new place in Him and realize that if God's called you to a task, He will equip you not to fail, hallelujah, but to succeed. Adverse circumstances that you're in right now, I'm not minimizing. You mean to tell you some of my adverse circumstances very quickly? Because my adverse circumstances could have definitely kept me from being here. My adverse circumstances are I've been on the road since March the 11th. Right now, I don't have a place to live because of some things that shifted. I totaled my car without insurance. Don't ask me how it happened. I had liability. And the police officer told me this was after one of these events in Baton Rouge. One of my closest friends died. And when this happened, this accident, the guy told me, he said, the car should have blown up. It's a total disaster, all right? Then I go to Arkansas with an event, Women of Impact. And what happens? Oh, my God. I just happened, God's protection. A tornado hit all through the area where I ministered. But the protection of God brought me out. When this car was wrecked and totaled and there was no insurance, I said, my God will supply every need. And all these different, that's why you've got to realize for everything that's happening in your life, I don't care what's been diagnosed, what's been said, what's been lied, anything, stand on God's word that my God will work all things together for my good. I can believe because God takes what's impossible with Judy Laird, hallelujah, and make it possible because it's God. That's what you got to do. You cannot have a focus thief or I wouldn't be here today. I could have canceled the flight yesterday in New York when they said, horrible weather. I have flown thousands and thousands and thousands of miles and never been afraid. But yesterday, coming here 3 hours late in a storm where a plane felt like it was going to turn upside down, I closed my eyes and I said, I trust you and I believe that you're in control. No matter what, I will land. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be upset. I'm on your timetable, God, and you knew all this was going to happen. Let me back up. So I get invited to Daytona Beach, and this was one of the most exciting things because there was a divine connection with me and Wigglesworth's great-granddaughter. And you know what? She's asked me to come to South Africa to minister and to speak into her life, but I'm asking her to come to America and speak into women's lives because I saw an honorable woman. I saw a woman of integrity. And when she prayed, I saw 6 people get up out of wheelchairs. I was in 12 services in 5 days. And she became my bosom buddy. And I remember holding her and hugging her. And I said, Lil, I want you to know this. I love you not because of whose granddaughter you are, but because of the heart I see in a powerful woman of God. And I thank God for you. And there was just this connection. I saw a little boy that had Down syndrome. And we laid hands and he began to prophesy. He was drawn to the mantle in my life. I saw a 350-pound African-American woman that they rolled in who could not even fit in a wheelchair. I saw her soar to the platform to be healed and laid, and her body quaked under the power of the Holy Spirit. I saw men and women. We didn't know any of these people. I knew Dr. Jack Sheffield, but I saw a team of five. There was no competition. We were just there and we were in awe. I saw multiple worship groups. A guy that was very Jewish, a Messianic Jew, play the keyboard, and my God, I felt like I was standing in Israel. I watched a young group with Jesus Culture and a team that I had brought in from the University of Houston. And then I watched an older general. I saw an 80-year-old man raising his hands that was supposed to be an Anglican priest. I didn't even know what an Anglican priest was. I saw bishops. I saw every denomination come together, and I saw when the presence of God hit the place, there was no big I's and little U's. I thrust myself on a platform asking and saying, Lord, here I am. Whatever that's in my life that's not pleasing to you, remove it, because I want to fulfill my kingdom mandate. I want to be a woman that's honorable. I want to bring the word of the Lord to other women and provoke them to stand up and to realize they got to deal with their issues so they can go forward, because we are destined for greatness, and a revival is coming to this nation, and it is now. And I was telling Anna, one night, she's like me, we love to worship God. You better love to worship God. I was listening to the music, and I had my old school Bible. My kids are always saying, you know, I've got the tablet and all that stuff, but for some reason, I've never been able to get rid of this Bible. I mean, I've got things written in it all the way back to 2004 in this Bible. And I was, one night, we were just worshiping the Lord, over 1,000 people. Now, most ministries, if they had found out that it was Ghostbusters weekend, you know the show, The Ghost Seekers? Anybody ever heard of that TV program? Well, there's a TV program. I hadn't either. But there was a TV program called The Ghost Seekers, The Ghost Finders. I looked at Jack Sheffield and he said, man, we got to tell everybody to raise the bar. I said, yeah, The Ghost Finders are coming to Daytona. We're going to find the Holy Ghost. And so that became the joke of the event. And so this particular night, I'm sitting here and just worshiping the Lord. And then all of a sudden, as God be my witness, my Bible starts vibrating. And I'm thinking, you know, because I got a lot of high energy, and I'm thinking, it's my phone. No phone. Put it back. Get behind me, Satan. You focus thief. Because it was pulling me out of worship. And I'm thinking, I must have left a battery-operated phone or flashlight. I look at it again, and I had no clue. Can I be real? You have no clue. You have no clue what God is getting ready to do through you. And so all of a sudden, I'm holding my Bible, and it starts again. So I have a woman that I ordained as a prophet out of Austin, and I just handed her my Bible, and I said, hold my Bible for a minute. And she's holding it. And she kind of looked at me like, what? She holds the Bible, and the Bible starts vibrating. My Bible went to 20 people. When it got back, Lil Defend went. And all these different people, I didn't pass it, because can I be real? I've had oil drip. I've had glory, gold dust. I've had all, but I never want my focus to be on the manifestation, only on the giver. He manifests him. It comes from him. But I had no clue what was happening. And so all of a sudden, they give it back to me, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to keep my focus on God. The worship's still going on. And I lay my Bible down, and the Holy Spirit says, pick your Bible back up. And I picked it back up, and these were the words I heard. I'm releasing miracle signs and wonders. You're holding the written word, the Logos. But the hearts of the pure that are worshiping me are calling for the Rhema word. And it is alive. And I am moving by my spirit. And I will never, that was a defining moment in my life. And never have I ever felt so awe. And I'm standing there and I could not move. I could not scream. I couldn't yell because I knew God was doing something a lot bigger, and it was something I had not expected. It was a quantum appointment with the Holy Spirit, allowing Judy Laird to know that when your heart is worship, it doesn't matter if there's 1,000, if it's 1, how many, I'm telling you, that is a key to the manifestation of His miracle signs and wonders, because what happens, it releases. Come on, it releases. This is God's word. There's no hindrances. There's no doubt. There's no nothing. And all of a sudden that night, there were miracles. I don't even know. I saw little girls that were like 6 and 8 years old jumping all around. I saw every nationality. I saw a woman whose son was dying. They had taken when you're in the hospital and they have you all wired up. He was dying with cancer. He was yelling and blue under his eyes. He was of Asian descent, and she heard about the presence of God, walked her son up in there. I knew he was dying. I knew that there was something. I mean, you could see death all over him. But all of a sudden, in the presence of God, when Lilda Finn, like she wrote in this book, only believe, just believe, she called that young man out and called all of us, and we begin to pray. I'm telling you, I watched the countenance, the color. I watched the pigmentation of his skin. I saw it was like an injection, hallelujah, of healing being manifested by the laying on of hands. All I can tell you is I know that God is up to something bigger than you and me, and it's all about a woman whose heart is honorable before the Lord. That you are, if this is really the year of the door and all that, you are the key. You're the key. It may be to one person and it may be to a whole nation, but who cares as long as you understand that God has called you with an entrusted womb to advance the kingdom of God. An uninformed believer. If I hear one more Christian tell me, I don't want to watch the news because it's all lies. Can I give you my heavy revy on that? Why do you have the Holy Spirit? Who cares if it's a lie? God will give you a strategy to pray. Do you realize? Can I tell you something else about women? Study the stats. Right now in America, there are more men getting full custody of their children because there's a decline in the morality. I'm not just talking about in the church. There are more men. That is not God's will. Number one, it ain't God's will for covenant to be broken. But I'm telling you, there's no difference in the anointing, but there's something about a woman. And if we're not different, then why don't men birth women, children? No, God called us, and we've got to step up to the plate, because what we fight for today will be our freedom tomorrow, and we are going to give account for what we do and what we've been entrusted with. Why would a woman's name mean honorable and God's glory? You think it's just by accident that she had a son? Think of the life of Moses. Study it. And then he's on the top of a mount, and the fire comes down. You're a product of your environment. And there are those that are going to come to you. I'm not talking about just your children. This, you have an entrusted womb for women in America and in the other nations, and I've told you. And what you do these next 10 years is going to make an impact, because let me tell you what, we have a lot of orphan mentality out in the body of Christ. The no affirmation, no. Can I tell you what happened last night with me in the dollar store down the street? I was walking and I was on one aisle. It was almost 9 o'clock and I was hurrying to get out because I wanted to buy some gift bags. And I heard a little girl say, "Mommy, Mommy, happy Mother's Day. May it be the best." And I happened to turn around and walk down the aisle. And when I turned the corner, there was a beautiful, very thin African-American mother, probably about, I don't know, in her 30s. And I saw four kids. And I just kind of watched for a few moments. And I was praying and I was saying, "Lord, you know, this child wants to honor her mother." And that's amazing, because not too many children want to honor their mothers this day, because they don't have somebody to honor, or they've never been taught to honor. And so when we got up to the cash register, she was behind me, and I took out the money and I looked over at the little girl and I said, "Do you want to give your mother a Mother's Day gift?" And she, like nobody had ever said anything like that, and she saw the money in my hand. And then I told her, I said, "Do you like pink?" She said, "Yes, ma'am." And the other little sister said, "Yeah, we like pink. We like pink." And so about that time, I looked at the cashier and I said, "Everything that I'm buying for anybody else, I want to buy for this woman." I never said I'm this or that. All I said was, "I'm a minister and I would sure love for you to come. There's a church right down the road." She didn't come, but guess what? Something happened in those children's eyes. Because when they handed the things to the children, and this little girl, I'll never forget it, had the sweetest smile on her face. And she said, "Here, Mama, happy Mother's Day." That mother had tears in her eyes. I don't know what she'd been through or what she had. The other night, walking in Connecticut in a very, very, very not so safe area, as we were walking to the car after a service, I had two armor bearers with me, and there was this woman coming, and she had a lot fairer skin than mine, and her hair was pulled back, and I knew she'd been, I could smell the alcohol. I knew what she'd been doing, and I got beside her, and I said, "Boy, it's a beautiful night tonight, isn't it?" She said, "Yeah, I guess it is." I said, I'm not from here. Do you live in this neighborhood?" And engaged in a conversation with her and then began to tell her, "I'd like to invite you to be my special guest, da 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 da." You see, acts of kindness. You know what? Sometimes when we've been rejected, I've been rejected, you learn how to not reject other people. Sometimes when you've been lied on and all that kind of stuff, you learn sometimes it through that pain, you will have a compassion. I am a spokesperson for domestic violence because I've been there and done that. And right now, never dreaming that Baton Rouge is number 2 in the nation. Go in and have a Women of Impact. Number 2 in the nation for domestic violence murder. I never dreamed 20 years ago when I was in all that craziness that I would be the one that can look in somebody. You see what I'm saying? So don't have a pity party over how somebody's treating you. Maybe you're a mother in here today and we're getting ready to celebrate mother. And maybe you haven't been treated very nice by your children, yet all you've ever wanted was affirmation from that child. Well, you know what? You can be the one to start a network like mothers that will pray. There's always something you can do to get to the place of being honorable. You know, sometimes it's the ones in your own household that don't honor you. But as a child of God, if you walk and you honor the Lord and you honor other people instead of always criticizing and putting them down and all, come on, somebody, I'm just being real. Why? Because your heart is in the heart of the Lord. We are the only army. We look down on somebody and we criticize them, but yet we don't have a solution to pull them up, to pull them up. I don't want to look down on anybody, but I want to pull them up because I know what it is to be down. Maybe I've been down before because I needed to pull. I've learned the significance.